Good morning. So in the Gospel of Mark, we often hear the kingdom of God is like. Today we don't hear that, but we have to remember that as the story is unfolding, that's really what these healing stories are all about. They're reminding us that the kingdom of God is about wholeness and community, that the kingdom of God is made up of people. People who are beautiful and broken and imperfect. People who've been healed and transformed, forgiven and redeemed, seen and embraced. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is a healer. That's the consistent, relentless pattern in Mark's story about Jesus. Everywhere, always, he notices, he cares for, he responds to those who are the most vulnerable. Jesus calls us into wholeness, and he calls us to offer wholeness to others. Jesus restored people to their dignity. He restored them to their health. He restored them to the community. When we look at Jesus the healer, we see that this is one who would cross back and forth between cultures in order to heal people. He would seek out people, healing them, restoring them, casting out demons. Wherever he went, Jesus responded instinctively to human need. He valued compassion over safety and acceptance. He responded from hope and love rather than fear and hate. He wasn't afraid to touch people or to be touched. Notice the touching that happens in the story today where the religious leader, the man of power and privilege, just says, "Come, lay your hands on my daughter." The desperate woman reaches out to touch his clothes. Jesus takes the lifeless girl by the hand. And in reaching out and touching, he connects and he joins with them. And that great power of life and love that Jesus embodied flowed out of his body and into them. He became a conduit for life, for love, drawing people back into the embrace of God and to each other. Jesus saw the world through this lens of love. When he stepped off the boat and Jairus, the leader of the local synagogue, who by gender and position, by his status, had power and privilege, came rushing at him. Did Jesus see a man of power and privilege? Did he see a man humiliating himself by groveling on his knees, begging Jesus to come with him? Or did he see a desperate father just pleading for the life of his beloved child in the same way any parent would do? When he looked at the outcast woman, did he see someone who was ritually unclean? Did he see someone who had dared to break the norms of society and reach out and touch him? Or did he see a brave and desperate woman willing to overcome her shame because of her hope and her desire for life and life more abundant? When he looked at the lifeless girl, did he see death or did he see life? Where we often see hungry, needy, broken people, Jesus sees hope. And Jesus sees sacred, inviolable life. Jesus sees people in their vulnerability. And that's central to all of these healing stories. Jesus always responds to vulnerability. To the father pleading for his daughter, to the desperate woman, to the lifeless girl. He reaches out to each of these individuals with compassion. He calms their fears. He restores them to dignity, to health, to life. Jesus always responds to vulnerability. As I was thinking about this scripture today, I wondered what would happen if we, who proclaim Jesus as Lord, were to be willing to meet each other in our vulnerability. What would happen if we allowed our hearts to be healed and transformed? We often think as Christians about the people on the margins and the most vulnerable amongst us. But I think that we often don't recognize that many people whom we may disagree with, many people who may push our buttons, they might be some of the most vulnerable among us. It is true that some people, because of life situation, have had absolutely everything stripped from them, and they have nothing left but their vulnerability. But there's a lot of people that mask their vulnerability with fear or anger or hatred or numbness or addiction. How do we meet those people in our places of vulnerability? What would happen if we were to be able to set aside our own resistance, our own baggage, let our hearts be healed and transformed, so when we look at those people, we look at them with the same lens that Jesus would look at them. And we would see them as children of God. And we would see them in their own dignity. I worry a lot about our country. I too take issue with many things that are happening. I am so concerned about the loss of empathy. I'm concerned at the way that we are so easily objectifying and dehumanizing people. But I look at how so many Christians, myself included, often dehumanizes the very people that are perpetrating the acts that we're objecting to. And then I wonder, am I looking in the mirror? And I remember the teaching that there really is no they, we are the they. And that change always begins in our own hearts. And I wonder what that means for us. I wonder how we can let our hearts be healed so that we can offer healing to others. That rather than reacting to the wound of others and deepening the divide between us, we can reach out across the chasm. That we can walk together. Perhaps rather than the prophetic voice of blame, we need the healing voice of shared stories, shared joy, shared fears, shared concerns. Maybe we need to be seeking common ground. Even though it seems unimaginable, even though the little girl seems lifeless, even though the woman spent all her savings for 12 years, maybe we, like Jesus, have to see hope in hopeless situations, and we need to see light in darkness, and we need to let our better angels guide us. And we need to respond from love and not fear if we're to truly be followers of Jesus. We need to be cautious and not dehumanizing ourselves in the effort to save others. We need to love each other just the way God loves us. And we really just cannot ever underestimate the power of God's healing grace. You know, so often we relegate healing to this idea of a cure. But healing's not a cure. Sometimes restoring somebody's physical health might help restore them to community, and it might help restore them to wholeness. But that's what healing is. Healing is restoration and transformation. And some of the most powerful healing experiences that I have witnessed have actually been on the deathbed. As we've celebrated the sacraments and we've laid our hands on the dying to feel the power of God coming through our bodies, immersing us and surrounding us, and watching reconciliation take place. Watching burdens be lifted. Watching the healing encompass the entire family or multiple generations. God's healing power is absolutely real. And all it needs to come into this world is a conduit. God's breath wants to breathe through us. And for God's breath to breathe through us, we have to first open our hearts. Go to God in our vulnerabilities. Let God anoint us and love us and heal us and redeem us, and then send us out to serve the world and to serve others. I often say to friends who are about to be ordained to the priesthood, I say to them, you know, your job isn't to save the church. Jesus already did that. And our job isn't to save the world. Jesus already did that. Our job is to be faithful followers of Jesus, to love each other, to be healers, to speak truth and love, and to act from love. Jesus is showing us a third way, a way that isn't red or blue, conservative or liberal, a way that is just beautiful golden light. A way of ease, a way without fear. So I wonder if we as prophets and we as healers can be the same thing. And can we meet others in their suffering? And can we seek relationship? And can we walk by one another the way Jesus walks with us? Believing in the dignity of each and every person.